What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where you can hear the life stories behind the people on social media. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan, and today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down and I talk to you about the most recent podcast episode of the week. And today we're discussing my conversation with Nate Bahar. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to my full interview with Nate, make sure you pause this takeaways, go back and listen to the interview, which should be the episode right below this one in the My Social Life chronology. So make sure you go and listen to the full interview with Nate before you do that, because there will be some spoilers from the interview in this takeaways. But that being said, I do respect your time. And if you don't have enough time to listen to a full near 90-minute interview with Nate, we're happy to have you here for the takeaways. So quick overview on who Nate is. Nate is a pro athlete. He's currently a wide receiver for the Ottawa Redblacks in the Canadian Football League. He was the former number one Canadian recruit coming out of high school. He was highly touted coming out of college. He was taken, I believe, fifth overall in the Canadian Football League entry draft in 2017. And now on top of being a pro athlete, Nate is also the founder and CEO of Firework, which is a brand new marketing platform that allows brands and athletes to form dream partnerships. So it's an influencer marketing platform specifically tailored for athletes, and it just makes the process for athletes to find brands to work with easier and for brands to find athletes to work with easier. Nate says too, they're not just focused on kind of like that upper echelon of athlete, and like you think of on social media, your NBA players, even like your soccer players, but they're trying to work with the whole spectrum. And they're trying to work. One thing that I think Nate was passionate about, if you listen to the interview, I think it's actually the clip I led the interview off with, kind of like the hook, was Nate talking about Olympians and just how underfunded and underpaid Canadian Olympians are, and they want to help try and solve that with Firework. They can help them bring in some more money during as they train up for the Olympics, because it just takes a financial toll just to train for the Olympics. On top of that, you don't get compensated a ton as an Olympic athlete here in Canada. So they want to try and help fix that problem. So working with athletes of all high level athletes, but of all across the whole spectrum, like I said. I worked with Nate back when I worked at the Redblacks. He's one of the first players I remember being introduced to by Tyler, who was the guy who ran social media throwbacks before me, kind of during that transition period. Nate was one of the first guys Tyler introduced me to when I started working more officially with the Redblacks. He always did some stuff, helped cover games and things like that, but I was never running it. I was never the guy. So when I became the guy, Nate was one of the first players that I met. So I was excited to finally get him on the show. I've been meaning to reach out to him. It's been a while, and we had a call on the work side, and I was like, I got him here. I got to ask him to come on the show. So we made it happen finally. Very excited. We were going to try and run it up in person, but scheduling, it was quicker and easier for both of us, I think, to do it remotely. I don't have to do the whole setup with the teardown. Nate doesn't have to come to me. I think it was an off day for them too. So like, it was just easier for both of us. That's how it ended up working out. So maybe we'll do a sequel in person one of these days. But let's get into some of these takeaways that I have. And again, I respect your time. I'm going to try and keep this under 20 minutes. So I'll try and be to the point. I'll be direct with these takeaways. But we'll see how we do here. I think I've done it once in the last like couple months under 20, but that's the goal. That's the goal. So the first thing that we'll say, my first takeaway from my conversation with Nate was that Nate started this company because he was solving a problem that he had. And that's, I think, where a lot of great ideas for companies come from. What is something that you struggle with? What's a problem? What's a pain point in your life? And if you have that pain point, odds are other people also have that pain point. And so if that's the case, then you can create the solution to that. And then people will pay you for that solution. And that is the beginning of your business. And I feel like a lot of people, they complicate and they try and figure like, what do I need to start? And it comes out with a crazy brainstorming session, but really can just come from a problem that you're having and be the solution for that problem if you can't find it. And with Nate, I remember, I don't think we talked about this on the podcast, but I heard it, or I heard him say it in my prep work for it, is that Firework was really born out of he had the idea kind of percolating around. And then he said it was like two times in a week, he had people hit him up and be like, hey, like, can you introduce me some athletes for a brand deal? Like, we're launching a new product. Like, I want to work with some athletes. Can you introduce me to some people? And he's like, there really is no good solution for this, And so with that in mind, he decided to build it. He decided to build the solution. He went and he got the team and he found the team and put the team together. And the team has been building the product ever since. And they've been working on it. And And that's just the impetus, is it was solving a problem. And I think that's just such a great place for you to solve a business, because you'll also be passionate about that solution. Because if it's a problem you have, you're going to be passionate about getting it solved. And so by being the creator of the solution, it'll allow you to be more passionate about the business. So I think that's a great place to start with the company. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about here too, that Nate did, which I think is important as it applies to starting a startup, is, you know, it's not like Nate was extremely well-versed in the world of startups. It's not like he did this alone. He has had a lot of help. And where did Nate find this help? And I asked him that. I think this was, and I don't think we dove into this too heavily, but I remember he did reference this on the podcast, and it was that what he did is he got advice from people in the industry and how he found these people. If you're hearing that, like, great, well, I'm not a pro athlete. I don't have any of these connections. Like, I can't just reach out to people. Like, I don't have anybody in my contacts that I can just text and be like, hey, like, can you help me with this? And Nate necessarily didn't have that either. He had a couple of personal friends here and there that worked at companies like Shopify. But what Nate said he did is he got advice from someone high up in Shopify. And he did that just by kind of sending a message on LinkedIn. And he did that with a number of people where he would just send the cold DM on LinkedIn to say who he is, what he's building, and his story. And that's how he got a lot of connections and introductions to people. And I just think that that's accessible to anyone. You know, I've talked a lot on this podcast about shooting your shot. And I mainly, when I'm talking about it, I'm talking about it in the context of the podcast. You know, if you have a podcast and you want to get guests, shoot your shot, because you never know who's going to say yes. But you also never know from a non-podcasting perspective, just reaching out to people for advice. And I think a key way to do that is obviously, like, look to provide value up front. That's a great way to get yourself in the door, but just shoot your shot, because you never know who to say yes. Like, Nate did it through LinkedIn, right? He said to someone high up in Shopify he reached out to, and he got in front of them and got some great advice from them all through a message on LinkedIn. You know, the internet connects us dramatically more than it ever has before. And just the amount of ability for you to reach out to these people is something you wouldn't have had the ability to 20, 30 years ago, but you have it now. And I feel like a lot of people don't take advantage of just the resource that is the internet and all the incredible things you can accomplish on it. And it's just, again, getting in front of people that you wouldn't have normally been able to. And that's how Nate really got some good advice and got the ball rolling with Firework. And I think whatever you're working on, whatever you're building, you can do the same thing. Now, this next thing, I think we're talking about, I don't exactly remember where this came up in the podcast. You have to forgive me. It's been like about a week since we recorded, not even, it's been like 6 days, 5 days since we recorded, now that I'm recording this takeaways. But where Nate said the quote of, like, it'll make a pretty good book one day, just kind of about all the work he's doing and things like that. You know, it'll make a pretty good book one day. And I love that. I love that, that kind of mindset. You know, I've said something similar on these takeaways and on podcasts. I think I've been as a guest in the past, but I wanted to kind of reiterate that here and really highlight the fact that Nate said this, is because that, you know, I always think about when I'm doing something hard and I'm like, I'm struggling, do I want to quit? You know, and where I kind of like frame, how I try to frame these things in my head is like, will this make a good ending to the chapter in this chapter of my life's story? You know, if I'm writing a book, how will this chapter end? Does this chapter end with, and he just gave up? Or does it end with he pushed through it? And then this thing that happened, like, you never know what's going to happen, right? And I just never would want this current chapter that you're writing to end with, and he just gave up. And I'm not telling you to never quit what you're doing. I think if other opportunities arise, you know, like, you could end this chapter with a cliffhanger that you're taking a step into something new that's exciting, and that's why you're ending this chapter. But if you're just ending this chapter and he just kind of gave up, that's boring. And so think about your life like that. Think of like as if you're writing your life story, but you are writing your life story. And so make it a good one. And again, giving up, no one likes, could you imagine if you went and watched, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, if you went and watched Star Wars and, like, instead of blowing up the Death Star, they just were like, man, that's going to be hard. And they gave up and that was the end of the movie. Like, that would be a terrible movie. It'd be a terrible book. And so, you know, if you're struggling right now, if you're kind of going through it, if you're grinding and you're not seeing the results, like, unless you're moving on to something else, another opportunity that comes up, ask yourself, will it make a pretty good book one day if I keep going? Will it make it a bad chapter? Will this chapter end poorly if I just go, and I just gave up? And I just think I just like looking through it through that lens. I think it really contextualizes things for me. Because really you and me, we're both writing our life story. So my goal is to make it a pretty good one. Now, the next thing here, speaking after this, is where I think talking about the book quote there, where that came up is, I think when I was asking Nate just about how busy he is. You know, he's playing a pro sport, which is a lot. Pro football, you know, that's a lot of work. He's running a business, and he's not like, it's not like he's the face of the company as a pro athlete, and there's a whole team behind the scenes. Like, no, Nate is doing a hell of a lot behind the scenes. You know, I had a sales call with them, with Nate, and like, Nate's busting his ass on the business side while playing a pro sport, you know? And like, a lot of you might be like, well, you know, it's a pro sport. It's not like a regular job where, you know, you work 9 to 5, like you go to practice, you come home and you go play game, you go to play the game and you come home. And like, that's just not even remotely accurate. It's, you know, I think it's like probably four or five hours of practice every day. And it starts early in the morning. And then, you know, you got therapy, you got weight room, you got to like watch game film. Like, there's just so much that goes into being a pro athlete. It's crazy. And then Nate comes home and puts in that 9 to 5 shift once his pro football day ends, which ends, I think, around 2 p.m, but probably starts at like 6, 7 a.m. So he's almost putting in 16, 17 hour days right now. He's working his ass off to make this happen. And the thing that I'm going to say to you is like, what are you doing? Are you working your ass off to make your dream happen? Your goal, right? To achieve your goals, you know? Like I just outlined, Nate's working 2 full-time jobs. And one of his jobs, he has to run, like he's running into and being run into by just solid brick walls that are human beings. Like, I don't think people understand just how solid football players are. You know, when we talked about it on the podcast, where it's like people don't really understand how small of a margin it is from the CFL to the NFL. Like the guys in the CFL, like there's some scary dudes in there. And you know, you wake up the day after a game and you're sore, you know, you got bumps, bruises, and on top of that, so after that, Nate's also building this company. I don't know about you, but I'm not getting tackled by giant humans for my job. So it's like, what is my excuse for not putting in the work? And that's just something, it was really contextualizes kind of what, just the amount of work that Nate's doing. And I think, you know, that where that comes back to is comes back to his training. He said when he was in high school, you know, like he saw a Tim Tebow quote, it's like, are you the hardest working person at your position in the country? And if not, then you got more work to do. It's like he kind of let that fuel him, and he would like have the names of the guys who are supposed to be quote unquote better than him to fuel his workouts, because he wants to be the hardest worker in the room. And I think that's an important mindset to have. So I'm asking you now, are you the hardest worker in the room? And now on the flip side, though, the flip side of being the hardest worker in the room, there's the other side of that, which is resting. And Nate doesn't just rest. Nate aggressively rests. And I think I love the term aggressive resting, because I think it's important. You know, it's like you put in all this work, there has to be some payoff. There has to be some rest, some recovery, some relaxation, because you don't want to burn yourself out. You know, that's because on the road to burnout, your quality of work will deteriorate. So not only are you deteriorating just from like a mental health standpoint, from an energy standpoint, but you're also deteriorating from a quality of work standpoint. So you need to do everything in your power to make sure you're not burning out. You want to keep your quality of work high. You want to keep yourself just buzzing and feeling good. And the way you're going to do that is by aggressively resting. You know, Nate says he takes 1 day a week and he just puts his feet up and relaxes. You know, he'll go downstairs, he'll play a few games of FIFA, which I understand I'm addicted to FIFA right now. I don't like, I'm at the week of recording this. What week is it this week? The week of October 18th to the 24th. It's Friday. So I might sneak in a game here, one game today, but like I committed to no video games during the work week. You know, like no FIFA. Cause I was like, I literally like any moment, like I'll just try. It takes like 15 minutes for a game, but then 15 minutes turns into double that at least. Cause I'm like, oh, let me see if I should sign some new players. Anyways, this isn't about how much I'm addicted to FIFA. This is about aggressive resting. And I think that if you put that in your calendar, and then genuinely put it in your calendar, I think that helps. Not just telling yourself you're going to rest, schedule the time to rest. And maintain those boundaries that you are resting. You know, Nate says sometimes he's struggling. You know, he'll get a work call and he has to like fight himself not to pick it up. And it takes discipline and it takes commitment, but set the boundaries and uphold them and actually rest. Because once you rest, you can come back and perform at your best. But you can't perform at your best every single day if there's no resting happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at it this way. This is from just a work standpoint, but let's look at it from a working out perspective. If you ran as hard as you possibly could every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for a month, for a whole month, as hard as you possibly can, there's going to be a dip in performance. And this is assuming like you're already a high level runner or whatever. Maybe like if you're not like working up to get, anyways, what I'm saying is like, if you're at peak level and you're working as hard as you possibly can and you're running a marathon every single day, by the end of that month, you're going to be in the down and out. You probably won't even finish that month. And if you are, you're not having great times for your marathon because there's no resting. It's important to rest and recover both physically and mentally. And so you need to schedule that aggressive resting in your schedule. I'm telling you to do this, but I'm also really telling myself to do this because I am terrible at taking breaks and time off and resting. If you've been following me on TikTok, I posted a video about this that just like, I'm not good at taking breaks. And so I'm telling you to aggressively rest, but really I'm telling myself to aggressively rest because it's just, you know, you have to, there's a balance there of being the hardest worker in the room, but make sure you're the hardest worker in the room at the highest quality. And to get to be the highest working worker in the room with at the highest quality, you need that rest. So make sure you take some time to aggressively rest. Yeah, we got two more here for you. We're going to try and, we got 4 minutes left, two takeaways and an outro. Here we go. If you're having one of those days, if you're in a bad moment, and again, like I understand mental health is very real and this isn't the solution for everyone at all times, but like for most people, if you're just kind of having a bad moment, a bad day, take 5 minutes and breathe. Do intentional, focused breathing. And that it helps so much more than you'd think it would. Just, you know, just 5 minutes of just, you know, 10 in, 10 out. That was quick, but like, even just now just doing that, I kind of feel a little better and I'm not just saying that to say like, I genuinely feel a little better. Just doing that one breath kind of made me feel like, you know, I took that one breath and I was like, yeah, I want to do another one of those things, but I don't think you want to just sit here and listen to me breathe for the next few minutes. So we're not going to do that on the podcast, but just that quick little action of breathe in, breathe out, you know, breathe in, hold, breathe out. Breathe in, hold, breathe out. It just makes you feel better. And I'm probably going to go breathe for 5 minutes. I mean, like, it sounds ridiculous to say just breathe because I hope you're breathing at all times, but like intentional breathing, focused breathing. And it just makes you feel better. You know, I worked with a doctor at one point. Her name's Dr. Shimmy Kang. You can actually go check out her YouTube channel. And there's a video she posted on box breathing, and she is a neuroscientist, so obviously like a far more qualified than I am, but she has a video up there on box breathing and how it helps you and how it's important to do that. It's a good de-stressor. And so if you're having, you know, a stressful day, a stressful moment, you kind of need a break, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. If you don't have 5 minutes in your day, you're overscheduling your day. I promise you that. So take those 5 minutes and just breathe. Just be with yourself, be with your breath, breathe in, breathe out. And of course, the final takeaway, which I love this, on top of your breathing, get a dog, read a book, and you'll be much happier. And I think that's great. You know, I think, again, to each their own, like maybe you're a cat person. I have a dog. I also have a cat. I'm a cat person, but I'm also a dog person. But I feel like if I had to pick, I'd have to say I'm a cat person. Anyways, I feel like this is really polarizing. A lot of people are going to be like, whoa, I'm not listening because you're a dog person anymore. Because you're not a dog person. Anyways, I'm just messing around. But I love that cool phrase. Just get a dog, read a book, and you'll be much happier. You know, and I think from when you think about it from the dog perspective, like why should you get a dog? Because obviously dogs are just cute as shit. And you're just like, yo, come here and just, you know, like that's how I feel when I see my dog in the mornings. I'm just like, yo, what's up, man? And just like, you know, anyways, but like dogs and then dogs too, like dogs don't care. Dogs don't care about what's in the news. Dogs don't care that someone said something rude to you. Your dog is just excited to see you. You know, no matter what you got going on, no matter what, how your day was, no matter what's happening in the world, your dog's just stoked you're there. And I think that's grounding, you know, to just have like, come home and my dog, I hear his little feet tapping on the, I just said I'm a cat person. Now I'm hyping up my dog. You know, so I can't pick if I'm a cat or a dog person. I love my dog so much. You know, I love coming home and I just hear his like little feet on our laminate floor. He comes running over and he's like shaking because he's all excited because I'm home. Like it's hard to like not be upset. It's hard to be sad when that's happening. You know, it's like your dog just makes you happier, you know? And so that's get a dog, read a book. Books are great. You know, I feel like there's a pressure, you know, especially if you're an ambitious person, you know, like myself, to read a book that's going to like change the way you think and to learn and da 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 da. But like, yo, fuck all that shit. I don't know. There's a Tarantino interview from like the early 2000s where he says, fuck all that shit. And his like hands swoop out. And I just did the same motion. Anyways, that doesn't matter to you. But back to book reading. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be like a book that's going to make you smarter. I'm reading Watchmen. I'm reading a graphic novel right now. Because I've wanted to read it since I was 12 and I pulled the trigger. It went on sale for like $5. So I pulled the trigger. And now I'm reading Watchmen. It's not making me smarter. It's not teaching me new things. It's an entertaining read. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, reading is great too, because then you're not looking at a screen. I feel like I'm always looking at screens and like, that's draining, man. It's like, read a book, get a dog, because dogs are awesome. Read a book. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it can be one. It can be a self-improvement book by all means. I'm not telling you not to read self-improvement books. I also read self-improvement books, but it doesn't always have to be that. But take that time, stop looking at your screen, look at your dog, read a book to your dog, and you'll be much happier. All right. But speaking of being happy, I'm very happy that you listen to this takeaways. You know, whether you listen the entire way through, you know, listen to Bits and Pieces, I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Nate. Go check out Firework. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. You can also find me down there at the Jacob Kelly on all social media platforms. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you did enjoy today's podcast, you know, if you're going to go do some breathing after listening to this, make sure to leave us a positive rating and review, you know, a quick little 5 stars for the boys. I can't believe I just said that, but like, yeah, if you enjoyed it, consider leaving us a positive rating and review. It really helps people find the show. When you do that, other than that, you know, share this episode with a friend, share the interview with Nate with a friend. And so maybe subscribe, you know, put up brand new interviews every single Monday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, brand new takeaways episode as an audio exclusive. You can get the interviews on YouTube, but these takeaways, right, what you're listening to right now, exclusive only to audio platforms. Every single Thursday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as well, where I sit down here and I break down some of those my most recent podcast episode of the week. But other than that, no, seriously, I appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Hopefully you'll be back soon. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.